We're starting Siman Tov Kuf Samach to do things zecher to the Churban, zecher to the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. Mishachar of Beis Hamikdash, Tiknu Chachamim, Shaboso Ador. Once, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Chazal were Mesakein, She'ein Bonin Li'olam, Binyan Mesuyad Umechuyar, Kibinyan Hamalachim. You never build a home in a finished, painted way, like the kings build homes. You're not allowed to build a finished home with nice painting. Ela, toch beso betit, v'sod besid mishar makam ama alama, keneged hapesach belosid. Rather, you can have regular cement, and you can put lime on the walls, and even that, you leave an ama by ama, one square ama, free from the line, and the actual cement of the wall is revealed. This is the view of the Rambam, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, and he says, and this view is very machmir, he says, we, however, follow the tour. And the tour says that you're allowed to put lime on and plaster on your whole house, and you're allowed to paint your entire house, except you have to leave one Amma al Amma without the painting and with the plaster or cement revealed. And that's what we're supposed to do nowadays, that when you paint your living room where you enter the house, when a person enters the house, so you leave an Amma al Amma free from the painting, and it looks like the wall before it's painted. Now, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that if the lime that they use, the plaster, is not really totally white, then maybe you don't have to leave the Amma al Amma, because it's not really white anyway. So sometimes it's mixed with sand, so it's not a totally white color. And some say that's allowed, that you don't have to leave the Amma al Amma. Now the Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays, in his time already, people weren't leaving this Amma al Amma not being painted. So why is that allowed? So he says, maybe there's sobech on the Yesh Makilim, that there's sand mixed in. The problem is, however, that what we use to plaster the walls is very, very white. And it really doesn't make sense. And it's unclear what the basis of the heter is. And really, a person is supposed to do this. This halacha applies in Eretz Yisrael. And it applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. So a person should leave an Amma al Amma not painted and really not plastered either. And you can see, the gray wall itself from the concrete. Well, we'll see in a second one basis that some people are making on nowadays. The Shulchan Aruch continues, Halokea chotzer misuyedes umuchuyeres. If you buy a home that's already plastered and already painted, you don't have to peel it away. But what does that mean? That means that if it was bought, if it was made by a non-Jew, you can assume that a non-Jew built the house, and he was allowed to finish it, and therefore you don't have to go and remove the Amma Amma of the plaster. Now, if you bought it from a Jew, and the Jew did not keep the halacha, so then you have to take off the Amma al Amma. So this might be a basis. If a person buys a house from a non-Jew, then there is room to be mekil. Then you don't have to go and remove the Amma al Amma. Now, where do you put it? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Keneged HaPesach, opposite the front door. So that's really the best place. If you walk in and there's a wall opposite the front door, so you leave an Amma al Amma over there. Sometimes in certain homes, there is no place opposite the front door. Like there's just an open area, open into the living room, there's an open area. So then, if you don't put it opposite the front door, then you put it either above the front door or right next to the front door, where it's easily noticeable, this Amma al Amma. One is really supposed to do this. The post-game discuss, can you write in it, Yerushalayim, Zecher L'Churban? And there's a discussion, some don't like that, but many poskim are mekil, that as long as you have the zeichu l'churban, if you write something inside, that's also okay. Now there's a big discussion if you're renting a home. Do you need to peel away the amal amah? And many poskim, Rav Moshe, and many other are mekil, many others are mekil, that if it's not your home, you don't have to leave the amal amah free from the nice painting. Oh. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Ber Halacha that shuls and batei and bas batei medrash, it's mutter without leaving the amal ama. You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave anything out. You can make them look totally complete. Sif beis. V'chein iskinu sha'orech shulchan laso sudo le'orchim v'chasem yenu ma'at minech makom panui below kairo mina kairos harius atas shram. When you're having a meal, leave over an empty space or an empty chair or an empty space at the table to show that because of the korban we have less simcha. This doesn't apply by a sudas mitzvah. The sudas mitzvah, lo yachaser shum davar, or sudas shabbos and yom tov, you can have a full suda. U'kesheisha osa tachshite akesef ve'azav, when a woman's putting on her jewelry, mishari mina tachshit, she shouldn't put on all of her jewelry. She should leave off a little bit. Leave off one piece of jewelry. Oh. So these two ideas, the Mishnah Berurah says, in the Ber Halacha, the minhag nowadays is people don't keep these two minhagim are not, these two hanhagos are not followed. The poskim say the ideas as follows. Why not? In the old days, there was a very set, organized way of setting the table and having the meals. There was a certain seder. And therefore, it was noticeable if you left something over, left something out. But nowadays, people don't have this full seder. Anyway, sometimes you use part of the table, not other parts you don't use. So nowadays, it just technically, it wouldn't work to have this zecher. So that one we stopped keeping. So too with the jewelry. People nowadays have lots of jewelry. And it wouldn't be clear. Women have harbin mina tachshitin. So it's not shaykh to put on all your jewelry anyway at one time. So therefore, this particular minhag also is not followed anymore. Now, in general, a person should never dress or act in a very ostentatious manner. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'nashim hamiskashdos b'milui." It causes the non-Jews to be jealous of us. When a person flaunts their wealth, that's never a good idea. So even leaving out this particular minhag of not putting on all the jewelry at once, a person in general should not live in an ostentatious way and flaunt all their jewelry and the extra wealth that they have. Oh. The Shulchan Aruch continues. Kishachasa no se'isha. Before the chassan walks down to get married, you take some burnt ash and put it on his forehead, where he wears his tefillin. That's also part of the zecher l'churban. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues. So we do these things, Zecher, to the halos of Yerushalayim. The Ramah adds on, breaking the glass under the chuppah. V'yesh mekom ha-shenogu l'shaber kos b'shas ha-chuppah. That you break the glass at the time of the chuppah. It's for the same reason. That's why we say meshkachet then as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes breaking the plate at the time of the tanoim. And the poskim say that at the tanoim you break a kli cheres, nowadays like china, and under the chuppah you break a glass. And the poskim discuss how come we break a plate by the tanoim and we break a glass under the chuppah. And the Mishnah Berurah says that this is not bal tashlis, because there's a reason why you're doing it. Kedei shosin kein lirmos musr. L'man yitzinu leiv. It's your Torah and musr. To take your heart, not to have full simcha nowadays. So you're not breaking it stam. You're breaking it for a reason, to learn a lesson from it, from the breaking of the glass, to lessen our simcha. And to think about the Churban HaBayis a little bit more than we normally do, and therefore it's mutter. It's not Baal Tachlis. I wanted to add the following in connection with Simon Tov Kuf Samach. Rav Wilk Shlita quite often refers to the Kli Yoker's comments near the beginning of Parsh of Chumash Devarim, when the Torah talks about going Tzafon, go to the north. And the Hebrew word Tzafon, it's the same letters as the word Tzafun, which means to hidden, to be hidden. So the Kli Yoker says as follows. This is all from Rav Wilk. Now I'm going to be quoting Rav Wilk's article, available on Torah Web. Turn yourselves northward is an exhortation to hide one's wealth. We must hide our wealth from Esav, for no nation is as jealous of Yisrael as is Esav. Esav views all of our possessions as stolen from them, since Yaakov received Esav's bracha by deceiving Yitzchak. But Hashem commanded Am Yisrael, particularly regarding Esav, who dwelt on Har Seir, go northward. Esav should not be jealous of them. This is the Kli Yoker now. Rav Wilk's quoting the Kli Yoker. This is the opposite of what Yisrael does in these times on the land of their enemies. One who has 100 presents himself with fancy clothes and expensive houses as if he has many thousands. This incites the nations against us and violates turn yourselves northward. This custom pervades a large portion of our people. It is what causes all the hardship that has befallen us. The wise will understand to learn the lesson. That's from the Kli Yoker. Narrow Willock says, and nowadays it's worse. The lesson of the Kli Yoker has particular relevance as we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the hands of the Romans. Esav is Edom, as the Lukan Bracious Paraklamet above. The Romans who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, Rashi and Echa, Perek Dalet, Pasuk of Aleph. Our present primary nemesis, Yishmael, is included in the kingdom of Edom as well. See the Mitzvot David in Zechariah, Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch requires that we leave a portion of our homes unfinished as a remembrance of the Churban. Ostentation is incompatible with a proper perspective of our exiled status, even as it invites further jealousy on the part of Esav, and particularly Yishmael, who continue to despise us and or attempt sometimes successfully to harm us. Conspicuous consumption causes disaster within Am Yisrael as well. It creates jealousy within our people, which often begets hatred, the very cause of our lengthy exile. It places pressure on others to keep pace, even if they lack the means, which lead to poverty or worse, theft. It invites an eye in horror, evil eye, as others gaze upon the wealth flaunted by the rich. Aside from the interpersonal evils generated by ostentation, arising from the aforementioned responses of non-Jews and Jews, it affects an inner character flaw. Modesty is an intrinsically desirable trait, and its opposite, flaunting one's wealth, is undesirable even if there is no negative interpersonal consequence. Rav Lil continues, imagine if the Kli Yoker were alive today, how excessive could the clothes and houses of 17th century have been? The homes, cars, clothes, bar mitzvahs, and weddings of 2010 are too often status symbols of newfound prosperity, eye-catching excess, and exhibitionist opulence have alas replaced in many cases the tasteful and functional lifestyles of the previous generations. In today's difficult economy, such excess is particularly grievous. With so many people suffering, a wedding invitation which requires 3 stamps borders on the grotesque. Leveling perfectly functional homes to create ever-increasingly palatial edifices, inexcusable in the best of times, is cruel and inconsiderate in the current downturn which has affected so many. Again, it must be emphasized that flaunting one's wealth reflects an internal personality flaw, even if there is no interpersonal damage. Indeed, self-glorification is undesirable in all areas of human achievement. The Haftarah of Tisha B'Av concludes, let the wise man not glorify himself with his wisdom, the strong man with his strength, and the rich man with his wealth. Only knowing Hashem is worthy of glorification. In an age of increasing anti-Semitism, which endangers our people, at a time when we are mindful of the lengthy and painful exile stemming from the destructions of Tisha B'Av, we are duty-bound to turn northward to exhibit appropriate modesty and restraint. If, as the Kli Yoker writes,
ostentation is the cause of all the hardships that have befallen us, then its avoidance can rid us of these hardships. With appropriate modesty and restraint, the jealousy of Esav and Yishmael will cease. The interpersonal sins within Am Yisrael will end, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. That is from Rav Willig in the year 2010. Very, very, very powerful.